Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold.
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305.
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
Video games are the devil.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm coming up with a list, Tyler. You reminded me right there. Video games will forever be at the top. What objects, what things in today's society, today's world are the devil? The video games are number one, no question about it. Number two, I'm going with loud pipes on trucks or motorcycles. The devil.
Oh, the old fart cannons.
The devil. I mean, when I was jogging. I was getting a little jog run in on my vacay here, which is a big time accomplishment for your boy, given what I've the last 3 or 4 months how lazy I've been. I got noise canceling earbuds in, and a motorcycle, one of them crotch rockets, blows by me revving his engine and scared the absolute hell out of me.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah.
I was hot, man.
Those things are crazy.
I grew up around the corner from a Harley Davidson shop. And so they would test drive their Harley Davidson around our block. And So all day, every day, it was them loud ass pipes. And they were actually revving them for a reason, because they were trying to see if the bike was running right. So but that has forever scarred me. Video games, loud pipes on trucks and motorcycles, the devil.
We need a top three. We need a strong number three.
I'm putting something together. I was talking to somebody this weekend, and they reminded me that at one point the reason I have one and two so entrenched in my mind is because I was putting it together at some point and then let it fall by the wayside. But it's coming back, boys. It's coming back, because that is we're going to come up with one. I know that Tyler's always amused by that, but damn it, I'm dead serious.
I just never met a fella with so much passion and hate for video games.
Well,
but it only
grew with the smartphone, because now you don't even have to go buy the console now, right? I mean, it's like you can do most of it right there on your phone, and you can just, I mean, you've got, half the setups that you see, I don't blame people for sitting in the dark all damn day long.
I think that's probably STEM, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you do work with the youth in coaching quarterbacks, right? And so you can understand and see the distractions that those things bring, right? And it contributes to the ADD.
Well, we don't have time to get into it right now, but it's definitely a segment at some point.
I felt the same way whenever I was coaching.
But man, today's Dirty's Daily is powered by Andretti Indoor Karting and Games over in Katy on the west side. Astro Granny wasn't able to get over here to work when I left for vacation on Thursday after the show.
Yeah.
And so I told Granny just to meet me on the west side over there. She parked in Andretti's parking lot I mean, she voiced her frustration this weekend. Wasn't happy about it. Thought the car was going to be gone. We wheeled into that parking lot today, boy. Her old pickup, old gray Ford pickup truck sitting over there right where we left.
Chilling.
Big appreciate y'all not towing that vehicle, man. Granny, I mean, one, I would have had to pay for it, but more importantly, Granny would have never let me hear the end of it.
Or stripping it down.
Oh, well, man. Well, no, blocks, I mean, I don't know that she would have minded if they'd have just stripped it down. She doesn't have any rims or anything on it. So if they'd have been desperate if they'd have stripped the old gray mare down now. I'm going to tell you, that was I've come out and found my Tahoe sitting on blocks before in Nashville, of all places. Of all the places that I lived playing ball, all over, arena ball, all over the place, the one place where I walk outside and my dang my truck sitting on blocks is Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, it's not as much as the place, but it's like the car, right? So would you say you had a Tahoe?
I had a Tahoe on 22s before 22s were cool.
But those Chevy Tahoes, the GMCs, like if you got a Sierra, Denali, Tahoe, doesn't matter, Suburban.
Forget about it.
For some reason, yeah, they like those rims. They're really popular. I got in a wreck.
Oh, this wasn't factory. This was, I got these from Galloway. He was fixing trade a truck in with him. I said, JG, I got to have him.
That's even more understandable.
Yeah.
But hell, I had stock stuff and I got in a wreck and I took it to one of these collision places. It didn't last 24 hours before I got a call. Yep, somebody broke in and stole all your tires. It's like, what?
But Johnny, mine wasn't even sitting on blocks. They took time. Mine was sitting on them chicken feet. Them little red three-legged jacks.
Oh, no way.
Four jacks. I had a Tahoe, big old big body Tahoe sitting on them little bitty old chicken feet. Boy, looked like a pregnant hen sitting up there. I said, oh, man, they got me. I went back to bed and went and called my boy that owned the scrapyard, not scrapyard, but yeah, I guess it's a scrapyard. What do you call it? Junkyard?
Pick where
take all the cars when somebody tows?
Oh,
tow yard.
Yeah.
Tow yard. He owned a tow company.
Yeah.
I said, hey, man, I need you to send somebody over to Nashville and bring me some rims. He said, what you got? He said, I got some 24s. This is 24s. But this was, I mean, God dang, this was 18 years ago. This was before, like 24s had just come out.
Oh, yeah.
He put me some shiny 24s on that Tahoe and got me back to Arkansas, baby. I greatly appreciate that. All right. 713-572-4610. I'm going to tell you, boys, I feel like I don't mind, as everybody knows listening to this show, I don't mind being the negative Nancy. I don't mind having a negative conversation. I think friction is fine. I think it's a good thing. It's healthy. But I feel like following up my destined take, Tyler, realization that the beach just isn't for me.
Going where the weather suits my clothes.
Yeah, and poo-poo and Destin. Following that up with what I'm fixing to do, especially if people know how much I love the hill country, I may send them over the edge, man, with my negativity. I need some help, man. I need kid-friendly vacations. 7 Acre Ranch in Wimberley, Texas, I've been going. My dad went when he was little. And so growing up, we went every single year. The Blanco River is damn near dried up. I mean, it's bad. And somebody bought 7 Acre Ranch and bought it from a Seekers family. Seekers family used to own it, and they did a hell of a job. They had a little something going on to entertain kids and family-friendly entertainment every night that you were there. Every night of the week, there was something going on. The conductor on this little train that drives around, about a 15-minute train ride, had this story that he told, and it involved, you know, all kind of hill country stuff, mm-hmm. and Native Indian stories, and you know, I mean, it was great. Great deal. Very entertaining. Big part of my childhood. Whoever bought it has done away with every bit of that. So now that the river is about dried up and you can't go down there all day long, the uptown 7 Acre Ranch part is an absolute mess. I need some help, boys. 713-572-4610. This is vacation time. It's vacation time of the year. Everybody out there listening is going on vacation somewhere. I'm not picking the beach unless my wife and my baby girls pick the beach. I'm not picking the beach anymore. And I love the hill country. I can go down there. I can go anywhere. I need family-friendly locations in the hill country. Really, anywhere. Recommendations to take the family on vacation. Tyler, I know you got a dog-friendly one, so I know. But you do enough. Them deep pockets you got, you do enough vacation. You'll be able to give me some spots.
We're in money.
There you go. What do you got? What do you got anything for me, Bajani?
I do. It's in the hill country.
Okay.
We went.
Doesn't have to be in the hill country, by the way.
Well,
I will venture out. I will venture out other places, but the hill country is a spot if I can find the right place. It's sexy now.
I'm on my father-in-law to go back, and he's on the whole beach thing and likes the beach houses and stuff like that. I don't like them. I like a lake. And we went to a place right off of Lake Travis called Lakeway Resort and Spa.
Okay.
And we went there, I'll bet you, for 5-6 straight years. Never wanted to come off it. He just wanted to change the pace. But that is the best, in my opinion, because it's kind of unto itself. It's in Lakeway, Texas, which is, you know, kind of exploded like everything else. But that's on the main drag. You got to go deep into the neighborhood where there's a golf course, there's a spa, there's a resort, there's a marina, there's 3 on-site restaurants. And I mean, they are, you know, 4 out of 4 or 5 out of 5 stars, man. They're awesome. I love that place. Kid friendly. The pool's great for them. You can get a boat. They got a party boat with a slide that comes off of that.
Right.
You can tube, jet ski, whatever you want. And I've never been there where it's been like super congested, and I just felt like people were on top of me.
Yeah.
So I would say Lakeway Resort. Okay.
Lakeway Resort, and what lake is that on? Lake Travis?
Yeah, Lake Travis.
Okay, better pack better bring my wallet. But better invite Tyler to make sure he can pick up half of it.
You just said the Blanco River's like way down. Like, we've gone at times in Lake Travis, the water had been way down. Like,
well, yeah, it's fed by all those rivers up there. So they're unless the river is like the Comal is spring fed, so you get it maintains its level better than others. And it's dry too, but it maintains its level better than others. Obviously the Guadalupe is fed by canyon, at least the south, Guadalupe south is fed by Canyon Lake. And so, you know, that's hit or miss when Canyon Lake is really low, the river's low, but you can find spots. You can find spots. We've done Camp Finfo in the Hill Country.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're proud of them little tiny homes they got up there. They're real proud of them, but that's kid friendly. Getting that a lot on the text line, it looks like. I may have to resort. I've been there. I've taken the kids there once before, so I may have to go out there. Tyler, you got any vacation spots around that you'd recommend?
Man, we don't have any like go to that. I know,
You do Aruba and Cancun and stuff. I'm talking
yeah,
about something.
Turks and Caicos, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no big deal. And that's big money. You can't hide it.
I mean, it's not going to go with you in the grave, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So,
that's
but
right.
No, but
wifey
no, we
can make more of it.
Yes, that's absolutely fact, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I got a sugar mama at the casa. That is 100% fact. But no, I don't have one like specific go-to, but man, anytime me and the wife have gone up to like the Fredericksburg area up there in wine country,
yeah,
and we usually stay somewhere that's like an adults-only type of vibe, so sorry about the kiddos on that. It's not going to help you. But there's a lot of good places up there, and I love the wine country and the hill country for Texas. There's some good stuff.
Fredericksburg is coming. Did y'all know that the Texas wine country is the second most traveled wine country, only
really?
Second to Napa? It's more.
Did not know that.
More folks wow. visit there than Sonoma. Huh. How about that? I think Napa is the only one that is not ranked, but I guess slots higher in terms of visitors. I did not know that.
I wonder if there's a little something behind that just because of how populated this area is and how close Fredericksburg actually is to heavily populated areas like Houston,
sure.
Dallas. I think that probably has something to do with it. I've never been, so I can't speak to if it's good or not. You got a ton of recommendations on the text line, though. Waterloo on Lake Travis, Coach T from the 713 says. Horseshoe Bay outside of Marble Falls.
Okay.
Leisure Resort on the San Marcos. Says it's about 10 miles north of Luling. Great for the kids.
I tell you, I feel like I'm definitely a river rat, and I feel like I frequent the hill country more than most folks that I know, whether it was before I got married or now. I have really slept on the San Marcos River.
Yeah.
I mean, really slept on the San Marcos River. You know, it runs through Southwest, I guess, what is it, Southwest Texas, Texas State now, used to be Southwest Texas, they changed the name. It runs through the campus, and so I was always jealous of, my wife's got some friends that went there, and they would literally wear their bathing suits to class, and then afterwards go lay by the river, jump in the river. I mean, that would be heaven on earth. I would have gone to school there if I wouldn't have played ball. That was where I was headed if football wouldn't have worked out. That's all I ever knew of the San Marcos River. But if you now with social media, with Instagram, everything, all these people that are documenting everything, you see all these different pockets and how it's the water level stays up. You can float it. There's decks sitting over the top of it with restaurants. I've really slept on the San Marcos River. I got to get down there.
Well, you better get after it. Now, you said it didn't have to be hill country or anything like that, right?
Didn't have to be. So, it didn't have to be. I would prefer it be something I can put my kids and my wife in the car and go. So it does need to be somewhere within inside of 4 hours is really good.
Y'all should go check out the Great Wolf Lodge, bro. Heard a lot of people, kiddos, go there. I went there as a kid.
I just went.
They got one in Galveston or is that Dallas?
No, it's in Webster, right off of 45
oh,
South.
Oh, yeah, there's a newer one. It's not new, but yeah, yeah, that's not the one I went to as a kid. But yeah, that'd be your best bet,
Well, 713-572-4610. Keep them coming in. I greatly appreciate it. I'm going to we got to branch out and we go to the hill country a little bit, man. We wear out our welcome at my in-laws' house, and then 7 Acre Ranch just doesn't have – it was my brother, Hank, rest in peace. It was my brother's favorite place on the on earth, but it is it's gotten to a point where, man, it just – I can't handle it anymore. A little World Cup update. Americans, USA, Team USA plays tonight. 7 o'clock kickoff in Seattle, 7 o'clock our time. 8 o'clock East Coast time, but 7 o'clock our time is that monster game. But this the first game today was Portugal Spain, and it looks like it's over. Looks like Spain beat Portugal. Is that right? Or no, yep. It's still rolling. No,
it's over. It's these are highlights now.
Okay, these are just highlights. Good
Ronaldo
gosh,
Ronaldo is eliminated.
The TV. I thought I saw him walking down back to the locker room a while ago, but I looked up, and I saw that +6. I thought, oh hell! But Spain won, Portugal 0. So Spain advances, Portugal goes home. I believe that was being played in Dallas.
Yes.
And so USA up next. USA is up next. Also, there is a report out of the president of FIFA has said he's heard the noise. And I'll find it and really break this thing down as we move forward. But the FIFA president is saying that basically, I'm paraphrasing here, he heard the noise, but he does want to let everybody know that there was an independent, it's an independent board ultimately that makes a decision on Balogun, the fact that he can play tonight them dismissing the appeal and allowing him to play tonight after saying that there was no avenue to make it happen. They found a way after the president called. There's a little bit of a follow-up of him just responding to a lot of the noise around the country.
It's pretty lengthy.
It's lengthy. So I don't want to read it word for word, but the gist of it is that he's not responsible for making the decision. It's an independent board that he doesn't know have anything to do with that ultimately makes and made the decision, which I don't think anybody that saw it is blown away with the fact that it was dismissed, given the kind of foul it was. I think what's sticking in some folks' craw is the fact that it should have, according to FIFA, immediately following the game, and U.S. Soccer immediately following the game, there was really no avenue for it to be appealed. And then the president calls, FIFA president gets involved, they appeal it, and it gets overturned. And so that's what's sticking in a lot of folks' craw. But nonetheless, I'm an American. I greatly appreciate the president making the phone call. I greatly appreciate the FIFA president picking up the phone and taking the call. And I love the fact that we're going to get to find out what this young, up-and-coming American United States team is all about in World Cup. And we're not going to have to hope they can win shorthanded.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Here's the most important thing for me in this whole matter.
Yep, I couldn't read it while I was doing it. So tell me what you got.
It was actually addressed by the FIFA president. This is I asked you earlier. It was like, what would have been done if there was not a phone call placed by the president to the FIFA president? This is part of the response. Quote, during our conversation, I explained that there was an ongoing legal process involving FIFA's independent judicial bodies and that the case would be decided in due course by the competent bodies. That is how FIFA's system works, and it is a principle that I will always uphold. That's just the brief part. And so that's the part that I was curious about is if, you know, Trump's going to take credit for this because he said he made a call, blah, 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 and it got overturned. Okay, if you wouldn't have made the call, what would have happened? Because I wasn't hearing anything that this thing was still being looked at and there was a decision uphold or reverse. Now it ultimately doesn't matter. And, you know, if you're one of those that, you don't want to do it like this, you know, they should have just let the rule be what it was. Well, the FIFA president is literally telling you they were still going to look at it and a decision was going to be made whether or not the president would have called.
As people know that, listen, I just completely disagree. I mean, common sense at some point has to take over, and there's no way that you can cost a country in this situation, a player of that caliber, any caliber, but that caliber in the World Cup. And you absolutely cannot, in my opinion, if you look at it from a personal perspective, hold that guy accountable for a bull jive mm-hmm. penalty like that and cost him a game and a half in a World Cup. Chance of a lifetime, man. This guy, this is a chance of a lifetime. So I'm glad they reviewed it. It should have been reviewed. I think it was a bogus call from jump. Even more bogus when it was a no call on the field and then a red card in slow motion. So I'm here for it, man. Appreciate you, Prez, for making that phone call and making it happen. All right, the Astros, they are hot on the field. There's no doubt about that. Has it changed their approach nearing the trade deadline? Recent report says it has. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 6.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold.
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305.
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 470?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The Astros are hot, really hot of late, winning six of the last seven series, and putting themselves right back into the thick of things, at least in the American League. Couple games under 500 at this point. Game back, the wild card. Couple games back in the division of the Mariners. I believe they're behind the Mariners and the Rangers, if memory serves me. But boy, they are hot right now. They just won a series versus the Rays, which is a many believe to be a litmus test, kind of where the Astros can land. Are they just beating up on bad teams, or are they a team that could really make noise amongst the best that the American League has to offer? Well, they made some noise. They, in this run of six, winning six of the last seven series, one of those series was against the Guardians, who were hot at the time. And at least above 500, and the Rays were the hottest team, I believe, in the American League on a eight game win streak when the series started. One game one versus the Astros, nine game win streak. I believe they were the best team in the American League at the time, and the Astros took care of business. They dropped game one, which was a low scoring duel. Spencer Arrighetti needed a good outing and got a good outing. They lost that game. I believe, what was it, 3-1?
3-1.
It was a 1-1 ball game when I turned it on late, and then it kind of came unraveled in that late in the game. I believe they gave up a home run and then kind of a careless couple of runs, but lost 3-1. Spencer Arrighetti, Hunter Brown, then comes his start in the rotation, and the wheels come off of him after four innings, gives up seven runs, six earned. But the Astros bats came to play. Yordan Alvarez hits a bomb in the bottom of nine to walk this thing off. Yordan Alvarez had six RBIs on America's birthday. Happy birthday, America, from Yordan Alvarez. He is having an unbelievable season, obviously. And then, Peter.
Peter Lambert, baby.
Oh, Peter Lambert, man. Track. He goes out and Peter Lambert fashion, pitches a gem. And it ends up, Astros end up winning the series, taking two of three. They're 21. They're 27-19 since May 15. They're hot right now. They are back in the thick of things. And as I mentioned in the tease, Bajani, and nobody knows this better than you. I know you're up on it and you're on top of it. The Astros are hot. They've got back to at least they're relevant at this point in time. And the trade deadline. We're inside a month of the trade deadline. So this is what we've talked about for a couple of weeks now. Is good or bad, let's hope the Astros go one direction where it's clear, not talking about the boy band, Tyler. I'm talking about they go one direction or
nah,
the other.
Nah, they suck, bro. I'm all in sync all day.
My bad. I didn't
the
mean to disrespect you.
The real ones.
You.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't mean to disrespect
innuendo
you.
Innuendo with the boy bands.
Being dead serious.
But we asked the Astros go one direction or the other to give us a little bit of clarity on what the approach to the trade deadline should be, and they've done that, man. Like I said, they've 27-19 since May 15, they got back to relevance here in the American League, here definitely in the division. Sean, I think the big question is here now, and there are reports out there that, you know, about how aggressive the Astros might or might not be at the trade deadline, but there are recent reports out there that they could be interested in a couple of big-time starters that are believed to be available at the trade deadline.
Tarik Skubal's the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And Sonny Gray. I feel like Sonny Gray, who's, geez, like 36, 37 years old now, I believe. I feel like the Astros have been tied to him about five different times over the course of the last decade in his career. But he's 10-1 with a bad baseball team this year in the Boston Red Sox. 2.61 ERA. Sonny Gray's really good. And that one is actually one of the ones that make more sense to me. But ultimately, like, it's far less about, okay, who are the Astros potentially being linked to here? Skubal, Gray, Sandy Alcantara, like whoever. I don't care. We know the Astros need better starting pitching. We know they need help in the outfield. And we know we'd like to get another high leverage arm in the bullpen. I don't know that the Astros are going to get all three. But if you had to only get two, you'd probably choose starting pitching and a pertinent bat in the outfield. Ultimately, the question is, what is it going to take to make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, is any of this stuff you're talking about even doable for the Astros?
And that's the part that I don't know. You know, the conversation that I've heard over the course of the last couple of weeks and even had with Patrick at night on Area 45, it's wide-ranging. But here recently, when you throw Skubal's name out, right, that is, one, a rental. If you're the Astros, what are you giving up for an elite arm in the front of your rotation that is a rental that is going to be here for 12, 13, 14 starts and beyond, maybe in the postseason? Who knows? What are you giving up? Don't talk to me about giving up guys like Peter Lambert and Jeremy Pena. What are you doing? If you're giving up things that you actually need for somebody that is better at one position, are you getting better? Are you really getting better? That's how I kind of perceive that. Okay, well, how else are you going to get Skubal? You don't have any top prospects? Well, everybody's got top prospects. It's beauty in the eye of the beholder. What do the Detroit Tigers see that would benefit them, to give up a guy like Tarik Skubal for maybe a lost season on their part? Do they care about your number one, two, three, four, five prospect in the farm system? I don't know. But if that's what it would take, if that's what it could take, yeah, I'm all in. Because you tell me the last time a prospect that the Astros gave up amounted to a hill of beans over the course of at least the last decade. I'm worried about dudes that are contributing here right now and that could contribute here and right now to help you get another World Series. A bunch of 19 and 20-year-olds in the farm system, I don't care about those guys right now. And if you're taking the very best of what is a bad bunch in a farm system to get one of the elite arms for 70 games for the rest of this season, I'm in. I'll do it.
Yeah.
But don't talk to me about giving up no Peter Lambert and Jeremy Pena and Christian Walker and Isak Paredes. We could talk about giving up those guys if, in fact, you deem this a lost season and you're punting on it. But the Astros are a game out of the wild card. They're a game and a half out of the lead in the division right now. This is a rebirth of a season, I think, if we're having these conversations about Sonny Grays and Tarik Skubals.
Yeah, it is an interesting conversation to me because when I'm with you, when I start hearing the conversation about Pena and even Peter Lambert or, you know, anybody that right now, if you subtract from this team to add to this team, you're not. I mean, I don't know that you're gaining much ground.
What are you really adding?
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I get it. You're adding an elite arm, but if it's a rental, then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense this year. Now, unfortunately, the Carlos Correa injury really puts you in a bad spot, because if he were healthy and playing well, then I could see where you'd have that additional infielder that you could move and maybe bring in an arm and go that route. But this, where you are right now, that seems to me, again, I'm just a casual fan, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but it seems to me that it would be a little bit silly to move a something right now that's producing for you to bring in something that you hope to produce for you. Even though it's the best arm in baseball, unless you plan on keeping him long term, I don't know that really helps.
I think Correa was the linchpin that allowed you to go one or two ways. Yeah. If in fact this would turn out to be a lost season ahead of the deadline, or a season in which you could really be significant buyers. Because if you had a healthy Carlos Correa, you could capitalize on the resurgence of Christian Walker.
Yeah.
Deal him. Paredes becomes your new first baseman. Correa plays third. Jeremy's at short. And what does Walker ultimately bring you? Probably not a frontline starter, but he might bring you a high leverage arm in the bullpen. He might give you a little bit of a bump in the outfield in terms of production, or at least something better than you've constantly experimented and failed with ultimately in Joey Loperfido and in Jake Myers, both of which you don't have to worry about for the time being because they're now triple A's.
Should the Rockets be entertaining trading their superstar Kevin Durant? Well, there's some reports out there that say they might. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports.
Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents...
I want to be ninja.
I can't stop.
The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I'm on the outside looking in, boys. I don't know what's the significance there with the music and Bajani. You got to let us know.
Oh my God!
Let us inside. Let us in. What happened?
I don't know. There's a lengthy backstory there.
Okay. Well, not radio friendly. I didn't know if there was something you
probably
YouTube.
Not radio friendly.
Okay, we'll have to talk about it at the break. We'll get to it. But
great video.
I tell you what is radio friendly is a little rocket talk. How about that? How about a Bajani bomb? How about that?
Rockets.
How about a Bajani bomb? It looks like, at least there's reports out there, that the Rockets maybe aren't aggressively pursuing a trade that involves Kevin Durant this offseason. However, they're not completely avoiding it. Kevin Durant could be
on the move. That's a good way to put that.
Could be on the move, Bajani. I know you've seen a little action, maybe a report somewhere along the way that's commenting on such.
Yeah, Brett Siegel of Clutch Point reported yesterday that Durant has had a desire to play alongside Cade Cunningham
who's obviously with the Pistons these days. And you just mentioned it. The Rockets, while they've not been reported to be quote-unquote shopping Durant, they've been willing to listen, apparently, on teams that are calling about his services, that they've not deemed him as one of the untouchables. If, in fact, there is a quote-unquote untouchable on this squad. If there is, you know, some people might say it's Amen Thompson. Some people might say it's Alperen Şengün. You might have thought that, yeah, surely, of course, it's going to be Kevin Durant. He hadn't even been a Rocket for, you know, a calendar year yet.
Right.
Okay. Maybe it's him. Well, maybe, maybe not. Siegel said a couple of things here. One, according to the report, whether or not the Rockets look to continue their partnership with Durant is the big question at large, especially since they don't view him as an untouchable talent in trade talks on the roster. Houston viewed the opportunity to acquire Durant as a way to upgrade from Jalen Green and bridge the gaps in their lineup to contend in the West. But by no means was this addition viewed as a long-term commitment. Now, here's the thing. Have we totally forgotten already about the burner accounts and that drama that it started during the All-Star break this past season? Have we already forgotten about that? Have we already kicked that under the rug? Because that could have very well have created somewhat of a divide. And it seems as though, if we're going to judge by wins and losses alone, that if nothing else, it kind of galvanized the Rockets immediately after that point. The Rockets played better basketball. They'd won more games. And it seemingly did not affect their on-court play. They won 50-plus games again this year. However, did they do that despite there being unrest in the Rockets locker room? I think that, too, is also the crux of this report in terms of why the Rockets are not viewing Durant as a quote-unquote untouchable.
Well, look, I don't think it's crazy that the Rockets would entertain trading him. I don't know. I don't think it's crazy that they would even aggressively entertain trading him at this point in time. They've got to go one direction. You can't run it back. I mean, I hate the Marcus Smart ad and let's run this thing back. I mean, that can't be the plan for the Rockets. And on the other side of this thing, flip the coin. This cannot. We said it multiple times on the drive over the last couple of weeks. This cannot be what Kevin Durant signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant has to be miserable at this time in his career, the playing damn near every game during the season, and clearly the offensive minds on the bench for this team leave a lot to be desired. The basketball IQ for that young supporting cast that maybe if you watch from a distance a couple of years ago maybe really impressed you, that basketball IQ has to leave a lot desired. If you're Kevin Durant and you're going to play for a couple of more years, is Houston really the place for you?
Well,
so I think to me this is not just a boy. Well, the Rockets, you know, are entertaining trading. I got to believe that Kevin Durant at some point probably has said, yeah, I wouldn't mind moving.
I think it's on the table. If you're just asking my opinion, I think trading Kevin Durant is on the table.
Sure, absolutely.
However, you know, Kevin Durant is 37 years old, and how much more basketball does the guy actually have left in him? Does he have it in him to, you know, want the maturation process to take place? You know, he'd spent 3 years at Golden State, got a chip, spent 3 years in Brooklyn, failed experiment, spent 3 years in Phoenix, or maybe 2.5 years in Phoenix, I believe it was, failed experiment. You're going to give him 1 year in Houston before you decide to call it quits at his age? Because you have to make a decision if you're Kevin Durant, in my opinion, and the Rockets too. Is that maturation process going to take place here? Or is that going to begin somewhere else? Do you think you can catch lightning in a bottle if you're Kevin Durant? And do that in Detroit with Cade Cunningham. Is that a team that is close enough in the Eastern Conference to rival the defending champion New York Knicks, to take on the Toronto Raptors, to see what the Boston Celtics, you know, are trying to build back up again after jettisoning, you know, Jaylen Brown? What can they do this year and beyond with Jason Tatum and that core up there? Is there a better path in the East than there exists in the West? I don't know the answer to those questions. To me, it's a really difficult question to answer if you're both the Rockets and Kevin Durant, and probably more difficult if you're Kevin Durant because you've been through so many failures since your last championship in Golden State.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the, what you laid out before, again, from Kevin Durant's perspective, the failed attempt in Brooklyn, the failed attempt in Phoenix, and now you're a year into a failed attempt in Houston. I believe if I'm Kevin Durant, I'd be a whole hell of a lot more interested at this point than doing what LeBron's doing.
Yeah,
teaming up with some old heads that got a really good coach that maybe you can support with some young talent and seeing if you can make a run and have a little fun. That's not happening here, man. It seems to me like a odd fit for Kevin Durant. If they're not going to make major moves in Houston, it seems like an odd fit for Kevin Durant. And when I say major moves, I mean that young core busting those guys up. I mean, obviously, the head coach situation, that's not going to change. It just doesn't. If I'm Kevin Durant, I don't know that this is what I signed up for.
It feels like if you're doing that, though, there's a decision that you're making ahead of the fork in the road. Because if you bust that young nucleus up and go with a guy / guys that are elder statesmen in this league, and Durant and Smart, and you know who knows if Fred VanVleet exists in this dynamic or not,
right.
But you're going to either go that direction or you're going to kind of keep, for the most part, this young nucleus together and have potential to be, one, flexible in winning over the course of maybe the next 5 to 7 years versus maybe only giving yourself a chance for the next 2, max 3 with an older team. That's kind of how I see it on the surface. I ultimately think, while all of these reports make you think about the possibilities, I still kind of believe that the Rockets are quote-unquote long for Durant, and Durant is long for the Rockets in terms of the length of his current contract, because there's no way that Durant and the Rockets agree to sign this deal, make this thing happen, and it be a championship or bust season in year one. We all thought that, but they never said that, and Rafael Stone doubled down on that at season's end. Well, this was never a championship or bust. We never operated like that. You never operated like that, because whenever you found out Fred VanVleet was going to be lost for the season and then Steven Adams goes down, you made zero attempt to improve this roster. The halfway point. You knew you needed a point guard. You didn't try to go get one. I mean, you could have got one on the cheap, gone out and got Spencer Dinwiddie, who said he wanted to be here and it would have cost you nothing but dollars and cents. No players giving up nothing. He was a free agent. You didn't do that. And so you decided to effectively punt on this season that had a healthy Kevin Durant play as good a basketball as he has in his 30s. It has to be more than just about this past year. It has to be about the length of the deal.
Living in the rearview mirror of like, why did you make the Kevin Durant deal at this point? I think is really wasted time. I mean, the Kevin Durant deal was made. I don't know if it was made to win a championship in year one, but it was damn sure made with the expectations of a young group developing and giving you a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Right, an organization that's going to, to your point, put you in position no matter what happens to have a chance. And I think the evidence has changed over a year since Kevin Durant got here. Let's be honest, you ain't nowhere close. I mean, they ain't nowhere. What we watch in the Western Conference Finals, the NBA Finals, they're not even close. I mean, it's not a why did you make that move back then, and what did you expect in year one? And you know, it's a bigger, like, now you've got experience in the building. This isn't just a gamble, a roll of the dice anymore. You know exactly what you're dealing with. And unless you think Amen Thompson and Shingun are going to develop into these different level caliber players, different types of players, and develop a different skill set and play the game differently, I don't know how you could even think that this is a champ, a team that's going to compete for a championship after we what we watched in the Western Conference Finals. I agree
with you there. I agree with you there about them not being close. Like, the Rockets are kind of cool enough to get invited to the hot chicks party, but they have no chance of taking that girl upstairs at the end of the night.
Correct.
That's how I'm kind of thinking about it. And, okay, so what do you do to need to up your game to be able to give yourself an opportunity to kind of, you know, finish the deal, so to speak? I don't know. I don't know what they need.
All right, we got 5 o'clock fire coming up next. We got World Cup updates. We've got Astros starting lineups. We got big news in Houston. That'll be next. 5 o'clock fire right here on The Drive.
It's gonna start a fire.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.